You know, there are so many elements of that A&M game when it's that many points.
Oh, but it was maddening.
It was just, you know, it's interesting because, you know, there they are coasting along in a 27-point lead. And I don't know that a lot of people understood what Louisiana Tech does. I mean, because they just go crazy. They ran 101 offensive plays.
Yeah, Coach, someone had an interesting quote in that his defense, because of the injuries and the suspensions, he said about 15 guys in the starting 11, 15 guys total played all 101 plays.
Oh, it was amazing. They run 101 plays, and A&M ran 86, which is a lot. But, I mean, between these two is about 1,300 yards in offense, and I don't – if you watched any of that game, they had this guy named Quentin Patton.
Yeah.
Number four. They hadn't figured out how to stop him yet.
No. I mean, no.
He still could be catching football.
Yeah.
And
without question. He's playing on Sunday.
Yeah.
He's that kind of wide out.
Well, this quarterback that they had threw 59 passes and completed 44 of them.
Yep.
44 passes.
Well, and most of them were 5 yards and
clotted
dust.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Yeah, and got it done. But, I mean, Patton, I don't know, he had like, I don't know, 200-something yards in rushing, I mean, in receptions.
200-plus yards and 20 catches, 21 catches.
Okay. And then the other thing that was really, really interesting is you never think about missed extra points. But, you know, the Aggies missed an extra point, which gave Louisiana Tech an opportunity to possibly tie the game.
But the Aggies blocked one, which gave them the
2-point
win. Right,
which they got 2 points, which gives them that. So, you know, you start thinking about those little things and how they make a difference. But that was spectacular, and that other school that plays football from Louisiana is going to be here this weekend.
Yeah.
And that could be fun.
Think?
Yeah. I mean, years ago, I wanted A&M and LSU to play in everything. I mean, I don't care. Tiddlywinks. I don't care. Everything. I think it's great. And
the history goes back a long way.
Yeah.
And in the last 20 years, it's pretty even. LSU holds the series record between the two schools, but within the last 20 years, and I think it's the last 16 times they've met, this could be made up, but the last 16 times they've met, one or both schools were rated.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I know that, you know, and folks who will recall, Bear Bryant made a deal with LSU, but LSU would never come here and play.
Mm-mm.
You know, the deal was you'd play in Baton Rouge or you'd play in Houston, and, you know, so that's what the Bear did, and But finally, A&M started getting good toward the end of the series, and I remember a long time ago, I think when Curtis Dickey was still playing for A&M, I went to the game in Baton Rouge, and we just knocked the snot out of them, which was cool, but I think it was like the last year of the series, so it ended about the right time.
I think they've played 50 sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I want to say it's somewhere between 12 and 15 times at Kyle. The rest were either in Louisiana or at a neutral site.
Yeah, so we'll see. Anyway, that ought to be fun, and obviously they had a big win over the weekend, so... And it's at 11 o'clock, which means there'll be a lot of people watching.
Saturday was exhausting.
Yeah, it was. You had a big Saturday as well. You know, Friday night is when Texas Red started off, and then Saturday you were there all day, weren't you?
I was, and I got to thank Abby from Kesco. They sponsored this really cool little cooking contest between Bryan High and Rudder High.
That's a cool idea.
It was amazing because they were mentored by two of the better chefs in town, Chef Tay from Veritas and Jeff Stover from Stover Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Food was amazing. These kids had 15 minutes start to finish to cook these meals. Now, they had some prep done, obviously, and it was done on the stage at the Palace Theater on hot plates.
So not your ideal commercial kitchen environment,
no,
right?
But I would have spent 30 bucks for anything they put on the plate.
Really?
Absolutely amazingly good food. The kids were all great-natured, and every single one of them knew more about what was going on in that kitchen than most of the people I know.
So these were steak-centric meals, were they?
Yes, they were. They were, let me see. It was, one of them was called a carpetbagger steak. That was the one that Bryan High made.
Uh-huh.
And it was a steak crusted and stuffed with an oyster.
Wow.
That's various sauces and greens.
A carpetbagger steak.
Called a carpetbagger steak.
Okay, all right.
The,
I like that.
The Rudder side, which won, by the way, they're the defending champs and won yet again.
Okay.
Theirs was a steak that was a wine reduction with shallots, thyme, rosemary.
Oh, sounds very French.
And, oh, my gosh, it was so good.
Wow.
But they ended up winning.
Were you the judge or just the MC or what?
I was just the MC, but I said at the very beginning, I ain't doing this unless I get to try it.
Oh, really? Now that was a smart call.
And if we have piqued your interest, I will tell you that Veritas is featuring the winning dish this next week.
Oh, are they?
Well,
so
have fun.
It's really, I was really, really impressed. And if nothing else, I don't know about you, Scott, but when I left high school, I had, in terms of marketable skills, very little.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Any one of those kids could have walked out of that contest, and I'm guessing at least been some kind of sous chef for one of the places here in town.
Yeah, wow. No.
Really, really impressed with
them. When I left school, they said thanks.
Oh.
Well, that's good for them. That is, I'm glad to hear that, and... That so now was there smack? Was there like chef smack going on?
No, they were very, very professional, and they were all so they only had 15 minutes, so there wasn't a whole lot of time for that.
Yeah,
did they have a little checkered trousers?
No, actually Jeff Stover may have had checkered on, but I don't remember.
Well, that's and again, cooking it on a hot plate basically.
Pretty much on stage in front of, you know, a couple dozen people.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on in the day, I did the Hairy Bikers, which was...
Oh, were they there, too? Oh.
Yeah, and they had incredibly good food as well.
Well, so you didn't have to pay for a meal this weekend.
No, pretty much.
Well, that's
And
good.
Then I steak judged later that day and brought Johnny Lee on stage. So,
okay,
yeah.
Well, there you go.
It was a great weekend.
Well, then, the weather, I guess, kind of interrupted things a little bit, but...
That's like being a little bit pregnant.
Yeah, I understand. Well, but before that, I mean, from the standpoint of... It being too hot, obviously that worked out just fine.
No, it was perfect.
It was not too warm, and I was down there on Friday night, and nice breeze down there as the sun started to go down, and so it was pleasant. And I guess we'll get some reports on numbers and all that sort of stuff as it goes.
Oh, I'm sure we will.
All right, so a parking space dispute has turned into a lawsuit when somebody was trying to reserve a parking spot and got run over by somebody who wanted to park there.
Wow.
Yes, and again, I see both sides in this. You've got, here's this person named Sasha Boutros, who calls herself a professional singer, standing in a parking place at a San Diego mall, holding it for a friend as she gave him directions on the phone. I come down three rows, okay, turn left. Okay, so then the driver of another car, sees this spot and pulls in because they wanted the spot.
Which you do.
She wouldn't move. So the driver of the car did the squishing thing, you know, where he just crept closer and closer and closer.
What a jerk.
But, well, I don't know. Now, wait a minute.
I think I'd have done that.
Now, hang on. Who's the jerk here?
I think I'd have done that.
Who's the jerk? The person who's standing in a parking place when there's someone with a car who wants to park there?
Well, obviously they're saving the spot.
Tough darts.
Now, wait a minute.
Tough darts.
How do you save a parking spot? I want to hear this. Go ahead. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I just want you to defend that.
Standing in it?
No.
She got you on that one.
Well, no. Why do you have the right to do that?
Well, you know what? There are a lot of things people think we have rights to do.
Okay. But they can't, and you know what? They might be
wrong.
Why did
someone have the right to run over someone else in a parking spot?
Because they were holding the parking spot.
Why is the person standing in a parking spot? That's where cars go. I'd like to hear what the audience thinks about this.
This harkens back to you driving a parkway and parking a driveway.
Yeah, I mean, I hear the argument from both sides.
No,
I understand that.
If there were no other parking spots in this whole place, then okay, I could see why the person might roll down the window and say, "Excuse me, ma'am, I'm sorry. I was here first in my car. Obviously, you're not in a car. Please move. I'm going to park here." Well, but if there are other spots, do you have to run over someone that's standing in a spot?
I'm going to make an assumption. She was standing in that spot because there weren't any other spots around. Fair? That fair to say?
Well, probably you can still drive around looking
probably
for
wasn't, there probably wasn't an empty spot on the next row over.
I don't think you can run her over, but I think she's wrong.
Yeah, I think that's what I mean. I think there's fault on both sides. She said she suffered a hyper extended knee, damaged her ligaments so she could not stand and sing. Okay, so that hurt her income. Ah, there we go. There's the money trail.
There's the rub.
So now she has sued and is wanting pain and suffering as well. So we'll see. The driver of the car, the driver of the car is a personal injury attorney.
Wow.
So, oh, this is going to go on for years.
Yeah, it very well could. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Morning.
Hey, you know, there's always one of those parking spots right up next to the door in the fire lane.
Yeah. Tom always found them. Hello.
Yeah, I kind of see this as rude because I see the same thing when people come to, like, any kids' events or anything like that. They line all these chairs with purses and things like that. There's only one person there.
Oh.
Everybody arrives late. That really makes me mad. It's the same thing in parking places.
I understand. I agree with you. I do. I agree. And I think we've all been to those places, whether it's a kids' event or something else, where people, I'm saving these seats. I have friends who will be here. Well, they're not here, okay? Yeah, why don't you all get together at the same time and arrive rather than save half a dozen seats. So, I know where you're coming from there. All right, 727.